live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donald Kavanagh. In this bulletin, public health officials say age is the most important factor when it comes to risk from COVID-19. But teachers, Gardaí and others say promises made to them with regards to prioritisation for vaccination have been broken by government. We'll hear from the INTO and from the Garda Representative Association. Minister Charlie McConlogue defends the government's decision and also says that he believes decisions will be made shortly on extra satellite vaccination centres, such as the one being sought in Inishowen. We'll hear from the President of Letterkenny Chamber, and a row breaks out in the Dáil over microphones allegedly being switched off. And later in the bulletin, we'll have the sports news. Of course, that's coming up at around 5:15. But first, this evening, 411 new cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed in the Republic today, with 6 additional COVID-related deaths reported. There were 31 new cases in Donegal, which now has a 14-day incidence rate of 277.7 cases per 100,000 people. That's substantially higher than the national figure of 161.1. No new COVID-related deaths have been reported in Northern Ireland today, with 123 new cases confirmed this afternoon. Public health officials have said age is the most important factor when it comes to risk from COVID. It's led to a complete overhaul in the vaccination rollout plan, one that's been criticised by many interest groups. Political correspondent Sean Defoe has more.
Taoiseach Micheál Martin spent hours in the Dáil explaining the changes to restrictions and the vaccine rollout this afternoon and defending it from political attack.
The change that has been announced is about getting the most vulnerable in our society vaccinated as fast as we possibly can.
Dr. Karina Butler from the National Immunisation Advisory Committee, which made the recommendation to change the vaccine plan, says it's based on clear evidence.
Well, if we were to compare a 20 to 35-year-old against a 65-year-old, the 65-year-old has 70 times the risk of death as the younger.
But Sinn Féin and other opposition parties attacked the government, saying the likes of teachers, Gardaí, family carers, shop workers and childcare providers should be given vaccine priority. TD Piers Doherty had this to say.
The decision by government yesterday was shameful, to deprioritise those individuals because you simply haven't done your own work over the last year to identify who those individuals were.
The Taoiseach pointed out that the age-based rollout is also in place in Northern Ireland, where Sinn Féin are in power. Micheál Martin also confirmed shoe shops will soon open for private appointments to measure for and sell children's shoes.
Well, the INTO is enraged over the change in the vaccination programme, as are other teachers' unions. Ahead of the reopening of schools, teachers and SNAs say they were promised that they'd be prioritised in the top 30% of the population. The General Secretary of the INTO, John Boyle, says the sustainability of the opening of schools is now under threat.
We never wanted to be our members to be vaccinated ahead of frontline healthcare staff or indeed vulnerable people over 60, over 70. But in terms of the decision that's been made now, we can't have any assurance at all that teachers will be vaccinated. And the key point I always make is that, you know, when you compare a remote worker, and a huge amount of people unfortunately are working remotely at the moment, to a teacher or an SNA who's going into a class of maybe 30 children in a school with up to 500 or 600 children from 600 different families, and looking at the way that the infection rates have been increasing since schools reopened, it's very obvious to me that school settings, that there is a higher risk there.
Well, that sentiment has been echoed by the Garda Representative Association, who are now seeking a meeting with the National Immunisation Advisory Committee. The Vice President of the GRA, Donegal-based Garda Brendan O'Connor, says those on the ground believe they're being exploited.
People feel very much that there was a betrayal of trust, and that the effort that they put in and the patience that they displayed and the flexibility was really counts for nothing. And we really question, does the government consider the Garda Síochána an essential service? Because every other blue light service, every other emergency response service in the country is vaccinated. The military are vaccinated. But here's the boys and girls in blue sitting at the back of the queue again. Are the government again exploiting us because they feel we don't have that recourse that our unions have?
Well, Donegal Deputy and Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue has defended the government's decision to alter the priority protocols. He says it's based on scientific advice and designed to achieve the most effective vaccination programme possible. On today's 9 till noon show with Greg Hughes, Minister McConnellogue also confirmed that once we enter the next phase of vaccinations, there will be less emphasis on GP surgeries and more on vaccination centres. He suggested decisions on extra satellite centres, such as the one being sought for in Shone, will be made shortly.
A much more significant part of that will be through the vaccination centres as well. And the HSE are engaging both with the GPs and with pharmacists as well on the role they will play in that. But I think the key principle here has to be that there's reasonable access in terms of geographic spread. And I've been liaising with the HSE on this principle and on this point over the last period of time. And they are committed and have given commitments that there will be satellite centres and will be making announcements as well in time to communicate how that will be happening.
Are you concerned about the changes to the vaccine programme that now effectively puts everyone in the same category after we vaccinate the over 70s and the medically vulnerable?
I can definitely understand the view and the concern among Gardaí and teachers and many others who are particularly engaged with other people in terms of frontline activities. And I very much understand that. And certainly the initial vaccination rollout in terms of the various categories that were in place, we had a very, very long and in-depth discussion on this because we understand the importance of it and the implications of it at Cabinet yesterday. NIAC, in terms of the National Immunization Advisory Council, which is basically the committee that was put together involving doctors and medical professionals to oversee the national vaccination rollout and who would have proposed the initial categorizations, they came to Cabinet yesterday after having consulted with NPHET and gotten the approval of NPHET with a new vaccination protocol, which is based on science.
And that was Deputy Charlie McConnellogue there speaking to Greg Hughes. The whole of that 9 till noon show, by the way, is available on our website, highlandradio.com. You can listen back to all the discussion from all the various contributors to the debates on the COVID-19 today and indeed every day on highlandradio.com. Well, the president of Letterkenny Chamber says more clarity is needed for business to enable them plan for reopening. The retail sector has yet to be given a definitive date for the resumption of services. And Michael Margie says business owners now need some hope and some clarity.
On the one hand, we're definitely welcoming the easing of restrictions, obviously. And I think it's very good for social and physical well-being that people can begin to see changes. I know we've got probably, 2 weeks to hold firm, but then we've got countrywide movement. But I think it definitely lacks our countywide movement. It lacks clarity in terms of pathways for business. And I think like some of the language used, and of course, everybody's forensically reading these things, looking for more information, and it's using language there, like from May the 4th, certain things are under consideration. It's a phased return, a staggered basis. In June, we'll look at hotels. That's principally accommodation providers. Immediately, the bars and restaurants, the restaurant trade started asking questions then. Even this morning, if you were a retailer, getting back to click and collect, what does that mean? Will you be ordering stock now to have it there in time? There's seasonal aspects for stock. And I suppose people at this stage compared to last summer, their reserves are depleted.
And that was Michael Margie of Letterkenny Chamber. Other news, and a row has broken out in the Dáil with the Ciarán Cúrla being accused of turning off the microphones of Sinn Féin deputies. Deputy Patrick McLaughlin claimed for the second week in a row the microphones of Sinn Féin deputies were switched off because they ran over time speaking. He said the same did not happen to the Taoiseach. The issue came to the fore during leaders' questions as his party leader Mary Lou MacDonald put a question to Micheál Martin.
Ciarán Cúrla, the Taoiseach relies heavily on the review, the report that he cites. Can you confirm that?
I didn't turn off your microphone or anyone else's. Thank you. Taoiseach.
Ciarán Cúrla, not something I would condone.
You're not a leader, Deputy McLaughlin.
No, point of order, Ciarán Cúrla. A point of order.
Sorry, and that's... Can't you raise a point... Sorry, Taoiseach.
The microphones for the second week in a row.
Can't raise...
Ciarán Cúrla, why isn't the Taoiseach's microphone remaining on when he continues to speak for about 30, 40 seconds? For the second week in a row, various leaders have their microphone turned off. I'm asking...
Resume your seat.
I'm asking that this be clarified. Why are microphones being turned off? The Taoiseach's microphone remains... Why are microphones being turned off?
Deputy, please resume your seat. Please do not bring the House into disrepute. Please
But I'll tell you what, in more than 5 years occupying this chair, I have never turned off anybody's microphone. I have asked people to abide by the time limits, which are generally ignored. Will you not ignore me and please resume your seat? You're out of order. You're out of order. Resume your seat. Resume your seat. Resume your seat.
And that exchange from Dunleeran earlier today. There's been a major breakthrough in the ongoing development of the Fort George site in Derry, with confirmation that part of it has now been offered as a site for a new health and care centre. The Western Trust is now moving to develop a proposal. The Mayor of Derry and Strabane District Council, Councillor Brian Tierney, says the project will be a huge boost for the city and the surrounding area. He says it's particularly important in terms of the signing of the contract for the £250 million city deal.
This ties on the Irish city deal, where we're looking to see the whole regeneration of the riverfront here in Derry, which will have a large focus on healthcare and innovation right across the city and district. So, you know, I think this ties in really, really well with that, and I think it's positive news that the Western Trust are going to take over part of the Fort George site to develop a new state-of-the-art health and care centre.
Important from your point of view as Mayor that there is a proper mix in that area. This is very much going to be all things for all people.
Yes, it is, and that's exactly what we're looking for. We want to open it out to make sure that everybody understands what's there, everybody knows what's there, and everybody uses what's there. There's currently a large site that's lying there empty, and it's about developing it. I think the Western Trust have made a very positive step forward in kick-starting that development. It really is complementing all of the work that we're involved in here within the council, and we're looking to make sure that we can push on now and develop this city so that everybody can benefit from it. We've seen, and we all know, and we've all made the arguments around regional imbalance. It's about now time that we started making sure that we had the proper facilities, proper services here for our people. And I think with council having a leading role in that and a leading hand in that, that will push that forward.
And that was Mayor Brian Tierney. Letterkenny Institute of Technology has been recognised for its work in advancing gender equality in higher education. LYIT has been awarded the Athena Swan Bronze Institutional Award. It also recognises the promotion of diversity and inclusion of staff and students. The LYIT president is Paul Hannigan.
It's a significant event for LYIT, Michaela. We received the Athena Swan Bronze Award this morning, and it's really an award for the staff and students of the college who've worked so hard over the last 18 months in preparation for this award, and for the activity that's ongoing within the Institute to recognise gender equality, but also to challenge ourselves for the future over the next 4 years as to how we match up to the gender equality action plan that we've devised.
And indeed, this is something that will continue into the future with this plan that you have set out.
It is, absolutely. It's really just a starting point. I think the most important thing was to get the recognition that of what we're doing so far, and that's recognised through the award, and then to continue the work through all staff and all students within the Institute, and the governing body have been involved as well, to make sure that we have achieved the targets we've set out for ourselves. So I see this as a significant development today, really important in terms of recognising what we have done, but also even more significant in recognising what we have to do.
Time on Highland Radio is now 5:15.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all the training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie with nationwide next day delivery.
And we say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. On the international front, Northern Ireland captain Stephen Davis is targeting all 3 points from tonight's World Cup qualifier against Bulgaria. Ian Barraclough's side opened their Group C campaign at the weekend with a 2-0 defeat away to Italy. And if they're to maintain hopes of qualifying for Qatar, Davis says games like tonight are must-win.
I think we know coming into the group, whenever the draw has been made and the teams come out, listen, you know the games you're going to have to target to try and get 3 points from, and this is certainly one of them. So we're under no illusions in terms of that there, and we'll go out and give it our all, and hopefully we come off the pitch smiling.
Well, aside from a penalty shootout win over Bosnia-Herzegovina in October last, that's October 2019 is now since their last victory for Northern Ireland, Johnny Evans is hoping things can finally turn in their favour.
Well, obviously results haven't been great at the moment, and you know that's up to us to turn that around. And you know, it took us a couple of years under Michael. Like I said, a bit of a change of style and management, but you know, Michael, you know, put us together, and you know, hopefully Ian can do that with us too. And you know, like I say, we're analysing things and being able to see certain things in game, you know, especially half time the other night, like I spoke about against Italy, we're able to change things, and you know, hopefully we can do that, you know, from the start of games.
Other action tonight, England take on Poland. That is at Wembley. A victory will see England move 5 points clear of their opponents, who are currently second in the standings.
Polish star Robert Lewandowski is out of the game because of injury. England manager Gareth Southgate says that won't make the game any easier.
They're a good side with some good players, and I've played Polish teams before. They fight for the cause. They're a proud country. They're a good football team. They've got a new coach, so they've got high motivation. We all know this is a key game in the qualification group. We've got to keep stepping up, and I believe the players can do that.
Scotland also have another qualifier tonight as well. They are up against the Faroe Islands. And horse racing, Tiger Roll remains listed for Monday's Irish Grand National at Ferryhouse as owners Gigas Town withdrew the horse from next month's entry Grand National after complaining of an unfair weight for handicappers. Tiger Roll is just one of 60 horses still declared for the Irish National after today's final forfeit stage. The Heineken Champions Cup and Challenge Cup finals have been taken away from Marseille for a second year. The French city was due to host both deciders on the 21st and 22nd of May. Alternative venues are now being sought, with Marseille to return as hosts in 2022. While Connacht have been hit with another departure from their coaching team, forwards coach Jimmy Duffy will leave in the summer after 6 years with the province. Last week, attack coach Nigel Carolan said he would be ending a 26-year association with Connacht to seek a new challenge. Tyrone GA have appointed Gerard Donnelly as their new under-17 county team manager. The Stewartstown Harpsman had previously been in charge of Tyrone's under-15 and under-16 development sides. He has coached various clubs across the county in Tyrone and was also involved with a number of schools at college levels. Been at St Patrick's Academy Dungannon, OMA CBS and St Michael's College in Enniskillen. And the GAA hope to release a revised fixture roadmap by the end of next week. It looks like the Alliance Leagues could be starting on a regional basis from the middle of May. It's looking more likely now that the Senior Intercounty Championships will be played along similar lines to last year, with knockout in football and qualifiers in hurling. This would allow All-Ireland finals to be potentially wrapped up by August ahead of the start of the club season. But all will be confirmed by Croke Park next week. Next sport in Highland Donals tomorrow morning.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. Agriculture and Marine Minister Charlie McConlogh is being asked to meet with Donegal County Council to discuss proposals for the development of Killybegs Harbour. A far-reaching feasibility study carried out on the harbour found there is significant potential for growth, but to realise it would involve substantial investment. The issue was raised this week by Councillor Micheál Nochtain, who believes this needs to be seen not just as a project for Killybegs, but for the entire county.
There has been a feasibility report done by the Killybegs Harbour Development Group, along with Donegal County Council, Donegal Enterprise Board and Enterprise Ireland. And basically, the result of this feasibility study basically said there's two major investments to be done in Killybegs for the development and for the betterment of Killybegs. But not alone for Killybegs, but I mean, you know, this could be a huge game changer for Donegal and for the North West region. And the two basically major investments they're talking about is a bigger dry dock and a sinker lift, and also an extension to the pier in Killybegs. We all are well aware of Brexit and the effects it has on fishing and Donegal. And Donegal is, you know, and Killybegs is a lot more than just a fishing basically county. And I mean, there's huge marine industry in Killybegs, and we have the manpower and we have the people on the ground that knows how to develop this. So I'm basically called on Charlie McConnell for an urgent meeting and make sure that we will deliver funding for the development of Killybegs.
I'm sure in the context of the party you've discussed this with him. You want him to meet up with the council and for him to really take this on board. Is it your belief, knowing Charlie McConnell, that he will?
Yes, I mean, you know, and prior to this, I mean, we had meetings with the Killybegs Harbour groups, myself and Charlie, and I mean, basically, you know, I want Donegal County Council to lead out in this, because this, you know, is just bigger than Killybegs. I mean, this is huge for Donegal and for the North West region. And, you know, the biggest asset that we have in the south of the county is the Killybegs Harbour and that. And there's a wealth of knowledge down here. And we want to explore that and get the funding, because we're talking in the region of about 66 million here. This definitely has to be funding to be got for Killybegs.
Councillor Micheál Nochtain. Well, funding for a third special education needs classroom has been secured for Russell's Community School in Dunloe. It's in addition to accommodation works approved for the school in 2019. Deputy Joe McHugh says if the planning and tendering process goes well, work could start on the project before the end of the year. He's welcomed the extra funding, saying the school is a very inclusive and forward-thinking one, which has been working on this project for a long time.
There's an extra SEM class which has been added to
the three classrooms, the SEN classes that were approved in 2019, one music room, one design and communications room, and also a textiles room. So with this additional funding now, the school will be in a position to go to planning within the next 5 to 6 weeks. I've been working closely with the principal and the management at Ross's Community School. So this will be an important step for them. It's a school that has a very inclusive approach and has a track record of inclusion within the education system. So I think it's just reflective of where they're going and the progress as a school. And I certainly am delighted today to see that this has been progressing.
As someone who's served as Education Minister, you know better than most how slow the wheels can turn in the department in terms of getting a project from planning to construction. What's the sort of timeline we're talking?
Assuming that and hoping that planning goes well, hopefully we can make momentum this year in 2021 and see diggers on site potentially at the end of the year. As you pointed out, the wheels can be quite slow when it comes to these public projects, but the good news for Donegal is there's up to about 20 major capital projects in the pipeline for the county. There's three schools, diggers on site at the minute, and that will be added to within the next 12 to 18 months. It's all good, it's all positive, and it'll all be needed as we move to a place where employment and getting people back to work is important, and these public projects will be key and critical to that.
And that was Deputy Joe McHugh. Finally this evening, house prices in Donegal continue to rise according to the latest daft.ie survey. In the first 3 months of the year, prices were 4% higher than a year previously. The average price of a home in Donegal is now 156,000. That's 37% above the lowest point. Nationally, the average cost is €276,000, and that's over 60% above the lowest point. The author of the latest report, Ronan Lyons, says lack of supply is the reason for the price increase.
The number of homes being listed for sale has fallen by about a third over the last year. That's a significant fall, and it takes the market back to something like 2014 or 2015 levels in terms of the number of second-hand homes coming on the market. And of course, on top of that, with construction halted during lockdown for much of the last 12 months, the number of new homes coming onto the market is down too. All of that has happened while demand has held up remarkably well.
And weather forecast, a mix of clear spells and variable cloud this evening and tonight. Some patchy drizzle at times, especially along northern coastal fringes. Mist patches will develop with winds slackening and cloud giving way to longer clear spells toward dawn. Lowest overnight temperatures 5 to 7 degrees Celsius in light east to northeast breezes. Tomorrow will be mostly dry with cloud in the morning, but cloud and lingering mist will break up as the morning goes on, followed by good sunny spells. Highest temperatures tomorrow 11 to 15 degrees Celsius, staying coolest in the eastern part of the region. Winds light to moderate east to northeast in direction. Looking at the headlines, and 411 new cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed in the Republic today. 6 additional deaths reported, 31 new cases in Donegal. Public health officials have said age is the most important factor when it comes to risk from COVID. It's led to a complete overhaul of the vaccination rollout plan, but that's been criticised by interest groups, including teachers' unions and Garda representatives. Donegal Deputy and Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue has defended the government's decision. He also said that decisions on extra satellite centres for vaccination, such as the one being sought in Inishowen, may be made shortly. And a row broke out in the Dáil today with claims that the Ceann Comhairle was switching off the microphones of Sinn Féin deputies. The matter was pressed by Deputy Padraig McLaughlin. Ceann Comhairle Seán O'Farrell denied doing so. We're back with news again at 6 o'clock. Good evening. The original notices for this Wednesday evening, the 31st of March. The death has occurred of Dennis McBride, Corramone, Ballybuffet. Funeral will leave his late residence on Saturday morning at 20 past 10 for service in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorra at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. The service will be streamed live via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv/Stranorra. In compliance with current HSE and government restrictions, the house, funeral and burial will be strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The death has taken place of Eileen Conaghan, née Houston, Derryvay Avenue, Letterkenny. Funeral service on Saturday morning at 11 in St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, followed by interment in Newleck Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, funeral and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The funeral can be viewed on churchservices.tv/letterkenny. Family flowers only, please. Donations to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Jim Midlin, funeral director. The death has taken place of Neil Doherty, Tantallon Road, Shawlands, Glasgow, formerly of Gwydor, Donegal. His remains will repose at his sister-in-law Breed and Kieran Richardson's home in Knockestoller, Bunbeg, this evening and tomorrow. Funeral service in Meanwheel Church on Friday at 12 midday, with burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. No flowers, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Prince and Princess of Wales Hospice. Due to current restrictions, wake, funeral and burial are private to immediate family only, please. Rosary can be viewed on the Proiste Gwydor Facebook page tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Neil's funeral service can be viewed on Kieran Rorty, funeral director's Facebook page at 12 midday on Friday. The death has occurred of Mary C. Gallagher, White House, Mean Lougher, Crossroads, Killigordon. Funeral from her home tomorrow morning at 20 past 10 for funeral service at 11 o'clock in St. Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon. Interment afterwards in St. Mary's Churchyard, Castle Finn. The service will be streamed live on St. Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon Facebook page. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, the house funeral and burial are strictly private to immediate family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The death has taken place of Peggy Gallagher, Derry Hassan Beg, Downings. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral service tomorrow morning at 11 in the Church of St. John the Baptist, Carrigart, with interment in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The service can be viewed live on the Meva Parish Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. And the death has occurred of Anne McGonigal, Clockglass, Burtonport. Her remains are reposing at her residence. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St. Columbus Church Acres, with interment afterwards in Belcritch Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted.